Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Today is Wednesday. It is December 20th, 2017. It is 11:01 in the morning, and this is the Mincing Rascals, a podcast we record at the studios of WGN Radio, which we are streaming live on Facebook today. Hi, Facebook. We're doing this as a special promotion for the Salvation Army. If you like this, remember that I'm on weekdays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio.
I'm Steve Bertrand, host of the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Every time you hear a bell ring during the podcast today, that will be the sound of my taxes going up.
Patty, go.
I'm Patty Vasquez, and I'm the host of Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, Monday through Friday, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., and so happy to be awake. There's the sunshine burns me, but I'm okay.
Scott. I'm Scott Stannis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and creator of the comic strip Prickly City. And I also do the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus.
I'm Eric Zorn. I'm the very merry columnist from the Tribune Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
No, you're not.
I am. I'm very merry. It's a good time of year.
So I was all set to describe this country as the United States of upside down, since Republicans, like what I thought were Democrats, now seem to love spending more money than we have. The new tax plan, which the president will crow about in a yet to be really awkward ceremony later today, seems to give everyone a car.
You know he's not signing it today.
He's not.
They can't. The White House didn't have a really good answer for why not. Like, they think
they couldn't find a pen.
Too many pages.
Some crosses have to be teed or dots
they are
have
doing
to be
that
eyed.
Procedural
but,
vote, today.
Right? But the actual vote signing, bill signing, is not coming today.
Wait a minute. Now, what's that bell ringing?
That means there's a question.
We have a question.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. All right, so somebody's already texted in a question. We appreciate that. This is what we want you to do. Keep texting in the questions. Elif is ringing the bell. Now, the bell rings when we get a question or when we get a donation.
Yes, that's correct. So,
it's an either or. The bell rings when we get a donation or a question.
The bell rings when you get a donation only.
Oh, and we just heard
then,
the bell, right?
Yes. So you got a donation, Woo-hoo! Which is awesome.
Thank you.
So now what you need to do is pull a question out of the bucket because we haven't received a live question yet.
Okay, and I will in a minute. Let's finish this thought first. Where were we?
Tax plan.
Whether or not it's going to be signed today, which it will not.
Okay.
Yes.
Republicans spending like drunken Democrats.
Okay, but let me just finish my introductory paragraph, which I crafted for you.
I see we're out of time.
Everyone gets a car, and I'm worried that our kids are going to have to pay for it. But I am also optimistic by nature. And so, Eric, I'm hopeful that we will all be better for this new tax plan, that your lost itemized deductions will be made up for by larger standard deduction, that the economy will grow, that companies will reinvest and not pocket their new fortunes, that unforeseen events won't stall the growth we're counting on and actually plunge us into greater debt. And with no mandate for Obamacare in place now, everyone will wash their hands every day so that we'll all stay healthy. Seriously, are you at all optimistic about this plan?
I'm not, no. I think it's a bad plan, a bad idea. I think it's going to end up in cuts to social services. I think that it's based on phantom economics, that most economic experts would tell you that we're not going to see the benefit. Way too much of this has gone to the upper 1%, and it was billed as a middle-class tax cut. They could have gotten some Democrats on board if they had tried to configure this as a middle-class tax cut.
No, they could not have.
Oh, no, they could have.
No, they could not have.
Absolutely could have. Democrats were on board with some corporate income tax cuts, some middle-class income tax rate cuts. They were on board with that, but they're not on board with this thing, which when it passed through the House and Senate had a benefit of like 63% of it was going to the upper 1%, and now it's something like 83%. All the little tweaks they've done in the last couple of days that none of us are going to be aware of until we actually read the bill, which they haven't done either.
Scott, are you optimistic?
I am. I'm optimistic as far as this goes. Over the next 2 years, the economy is going to take off. It's already started to heat up. It's going to get white hot. And and there are going to be more jobs. There's going to be more money in the economy. That's just how things work. And the people who don't like this are Keynesian economists, not all. Oh, yay!
Another donation. Thank you.
But, keep going. So Keynesian economists don't like this, but economists on the right definitely do. Trickle down. This whole fiction that trickle down didn't work in the Reagan administration, of course, is preposterous.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding me? trickle-down economics works? Worked?
It
did
worked.
It work in Kansas? Did it work in the country when Reagan was president?
Yes. Are you kidding me? The biggest peacetime expansion in our history of the economy? Yes, it worked. It worked very,
so
very well.
So you think, hooray, we should do this. We should give breaks to the rich.
No. You haven't been following my cartoons. The one part that Eric touched on, and you touched on, is a $1.5 trillion with a T added to our national debt is a crime. Is a crime, and it will lead to inflation, and it will hurt
the
economy.
What makes you think the business is already doing really well? Business is flush with cash. We're going to give them more, and what are they going to do with it? They're going to do stock buybacks. They're not going to pay people more. Where do you get this
idea? They haven't admitted as much. They've said they're going to pocket it.
They're not going to pay people more. They're not going to. It's like this is fantasy that you guys have.
It's not a fantasy, because as economies grow, that means there's pressures on labor, which means that labor costs
pressures
go
on
up.
Labor.
Yes.
Well, but you know what, Scott? I've been hearing that for a couple of years now. That the
economy's been crap for a decade.
Well,
so I'm not sure.
It's continued to grow. We're almost at full employment now, and salaries haven't. I mean, I hope it works. I really do hope it works. I do hope
we're all
works.
On that bus. Let's hope this works.
I haven't seen evidence in the past year that a hotter labor market has led to increased salaries. We haven't seen it. What happened when even before these tax plans were approved? Boeing, which has driven the Dow Jones Industrial Average this year, announced a stock buyback. I think that's what you're going to see companies doing. They're not going to be paying their workers more. I hope they do. One other thing. I bought a property in Cook County last year, a condo. For my mother-in-law, you know, she was at the point where we had to do something. So do we find a better apartment or do we buy property? And I'm like, you know what? This works for me because I can write off the property taxes. I can write off the other things.
You
that
don't
I get
know
rid
that,
of.
But now I can't. But with an increased, but the deduction's going to double for you. The standard deduction's going to double for you. So maybe you'll still. You don't know how this
I don't
is
know.
Going to affect
You're right,
you.
Because I'm hoping to be able to do my taxes on a postcard.
Why was that such a selling point?
But you know, so I've gone to several different calculators.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
to
yeah,
try
so,
to
so
figure
long.
It out, and I can't figure it out yet, but. More often than not, it looks like my individual taxes are going to go up. Now, that's my own problem.
Really? You think your taxes are going to go up?
How much are you paying?
Do you think your taxes are going to go up?
No, I'm going to get money back. But the thing is,
I think I am too.
And this is going to be temporary, though. Why is it temporary for most Americans and most of the tax breaks and the wealthiest are permanent?
Well, they had to do that.
That's an excellent point.
Because they want to get elected in 2018. I think that's why.
They had to do that in order to make it legal, right?
It's a fiction. We know that when it comes to 2025, there's going to be no political will to cut off those tax cuts, and so they'll extend them, and that's just going to balloon this $1.5 trillion into more and more deficit.
We already owe $25 trillion to investors in foreign countries.
This is why I thought Republicans were like they hated. I guess right. I don't know anything.
Well,
I thought Republicans hated the debt and the layering more on would be a bad idea.
I think you're absolutely right. We're living in the upside down now.
And they were tough on the Russians. It's the Republicans who are tough on the Russians, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, could you imagine a president who was elected and it was proven that he had close relations and praised the leader of Russia? I mean, it's a world I don't understand anymore, John.
I have a bucket here of questions that our Facebookers have asked when the bell rings. Ring that bell real hard. There it is.
That's a donation. We've got another donation.
Another donation! Woo!
Now you should answer three questions.
I'm not going to answer three, but I will answer this one. This is random now.
Okay.
Mary asks, what will be the next soda pop tax in Cook County? If we've lost that, well, I know what it's going to be. It's going to be marijuana. But I think that's how we're going to
actually. It's amazing how many Republicans are starting to get on board with legalizing marijuana. Like Senator Berkman, who I never would have thought would be something. I mean, a lot of conservatives in Illinois in the General Assembly are thinking about it.
We have medicinal marijuana in Illinois, right?
Yes.
And is that sufficiently available to people?
No. That's the
problem with it, isn't it?
Well,
because there's a limited number of conditions for which you qualify.
Right. And I think if you're in pain and you think marijuana would help you, you should be able to take marijuana.
Right.
I'm not in for anybody abusing it, but we're this close to recreational. Why do we have a strict set of conditions that you have to adhere to in order to relieve your pain? I don't understand.
It's very strict. Illinois's got one of the strictest.
Another donation.
Thank you.
To their credit, they were strict to get it passed and to make it work, right? And we're, three or four years into it?
Yeah.
Right. Governor Rauner has resisted expanding it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to be showing that it's working, so,
wasn't there, I'm just talking, I wish I had the facts in front of me, but there was
there's no
always,
need for that here.
I know, I'm sorry. There was, wasn't there a smell factor when they first started issuing the dispensary licenses?
What do you mean by smell factor?
Smell factor. Well, that these were going to people who, this wasn't a fair bidding process, but rather.
Oh, who got the pharmacies?
Yeah.
In Illinois?
Yeah. I know. Are you shocked?
What?
Here's the next question. You can text your questions or type them in if you're following us on Facebook. Thank you for that. There's a donate now button. And every time we get a donation, we're doing this for the Salvation Army. Please help the Salvation Army do the most good. Elif will ring that bell. Ring it every time, Elif. Stephen says, how long do you think Donald Trump will serve as our 45th president of the United States? And what do you think? And why do you think he will serve that long?
I think it depends on the 2018 elections. If the Democrats take over the House or the Senate, then you can guarantee that he will impeachment proceedings will definitely start.
Which would still take a long time, and I think he would still serve out his term.
It's a long process. It's a 10-year process.
Well, you can be impeached and still be president. Right. Well, the Senate convict him. And I guess the Senate is close enough to turning that the Senate could.
But you need 60%, 60 votes?
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
Yes.
No, I think he'll serve his full term. I think it's because he's been so bad. You know, if you look at Iran-Contra with Ronald Reagan, or if you look at the Scooter Libby scandal with George W. Bush, those were guys who had fairly clean administrations. So the one, bird dropping on that car really stood out.
Thank you for the donation.
Was that for bird dropping?
Yes, well done.
But, let
me just finish the point, though. But there's so much bird crap on Donald Trump's car that nothing else shows.
We don't notice it.
So no matter what, I feel like no matter what comes out of the investigation now, there's so much stuff there that he's going to weather anyway.
That's why I've been counseling us to not be too burdened or fascinated by his ridiculous tweets and his lie du jour. Let's focus on the big things. And you and I have had this running argument about whether or not we should shine the light on some of his ridiculousness, because then I think we're all ridiculous. Let's focus on the important stuff.
Yeah, you're wrong there.
Eric, you have time.
I think Scott's right. I do think the 2018 election is going to go poorly for the Republicans. And I think that something between that 2-year and 4-year mark is going to cause him to step down. And he's going to, whether it's going to be his health or just resignation over the fact that he's not getting anything done. This guy's not, I don't think he's well. I don't think he's physically well. I don't think he's mentally well. And so I'm predicting somewhere between 2 and 4. I'll say 3. I'll go with 3 years.
Are you concerned with his drinking water the other day like this?
That was the weirdest thing. He drank it like a toddler.
Like a
raccoon. Well, it's not just the hands. It's also the way he has to. It's like he can't drink without a straw.
He leaned down into the
we're doing it. We're doing it again.
Okay, but here's where we do it.
We're doing it again. This is not
you
important.
You started it.
I know I did.
But it is.
I'm not saying I'm perfect.
But it is important when he goes. It is important, and this is where you and I disagreed, when he goes before us and he tells us that he is going to be hurt by the tax bill. You just rolled your eyes at me.
Well, because go ahead, finish your thought.
Because that is almost unfathomable. It's almost impossible to be true. And it is important to point that out every time he says it, because if you allow someone to keep saying those things over and over, look at the polls, people start to believe them.
Okay.
Right?
Well, and if you won't even show us his taxes, how can we even know how it would affect him
regardless,
in the first place?
Those are the things, John. I mean, making fun of the way he drinks, okay, that's a giggle.
Okay, but let's have the conversation about should we care if this new tax plan affects Donald Trump favorably or unfavorably on a personal level.
I don't care if it benefits him or not. What I care is that he says it doesn't. That's the issue, that he says it doesn't.
And you don't believe him.
Well, the evidence seems to indicate that it couldn't be possible.
And we don't know until he releases his taxes, maybe, and he said he wasn't.
It should benefit him. The rich are being benefited here, so it will benefit him. I care that he won't just...
Thank you for that donation.
Say that.
It's always when you're talking, I feel like we're giving you applause every time, Steve.
No, everyone notices
that. Somebody just said on our Facebook stream that if I do the Donald Trump drinking water again, they will make another donation.
Oh, okay.
Purse your lips like you can't drink without a straw.
Here's the thing, though. My wife showed this to me this morning, and she says, oh, God, can you believe this? And because we're all worried about the man's health, mental, physical, emotional, whatever. The picture and the story are worse than the actual video. He reaches down from a podium down here, and then he brings it up, but he doesn't want to spill the... All right, here, Patty, you do it.
Here's what? There's no donate. There's no money in this.
Okay. But now, see, you're doing it. We're doing
it. All right. So then he picks it up like this. Now he's holding it with two hands. And he takes a sip and he puts the cup down.
That's just one gesture, right.
And for some reason, people think, oh, my God, we have to impeach him. He's lost his evoke the 25th Amendment. He's not sane or well enough to be president.
He's lost his ability to sip.
It also goes back to when he made fun of Rubio. He's somebody who can make fun of other people, but when he does the same thing or is even egregiously worse.
I will have the, okay, we're still doing it, and we're still doing it. And I will have these fun, fascinating, I can't believe this guy's president conversations all day long. They're irresistible.
Yeah.
But they don't matter.
They're distractions.
He's a proven liar. He is what he is. And that's his, not going to change.
But his lies are sinking in.
Thank you for the donation to the Salvation Army.
It's because of the gesture.
Nothing matters. The thing is, nothing matters. This is what I this morning in my column, I said, talked about the Surely This Society. The people, like, I used to belong to the Surely This Society, which was that he would do something. He would make fun of the handicapped. He'd make fun of John McCain's prisoner of war status. And I would say, surely this will torpedo his political career. But nothing ever does. So nothing that he does is going. He's going. I think he's going to fire Robert Mueller. I do. I think he's going to do that. Even though he said he isn't going to do it, he's going to do it. And it's not going
to. And I just would like to pursue that a little bit in conjunction with that. That's my point. If you allow him to continue to lie, obvious lies, they begin to take hold. Look at the polls. Robert Mueller is now losing credibility, particularly among Republicans. He's a Republican guy. He's a Republican appointee.
I know, he is a Republican.
But it's because of the continued, you know, the FBI as KGB. It's because of these things.
Steve, the president lies. He lies once a day. I'm asking you to do is edit. That's all I'm saying. So is the Mueller storyline worthy of our attention? Yes. I agree with you on that. But I think every time he tells a lie, we shouldn't ring a bell because then we won't get anything done.
I agree with that. I mean, because if he were to say, like, today's Thursday, there's no reason.
I'm telling you every time Bertrand's talking.
But I think when if he's selling a major piece of legislation and saying it doesn't help him, I think that's when you do tell. You count.
Here's another question. Oh, no, Elif wants to read one because you are able to, as you watch us live today on Facebook, you're also able to make donations. We're ringing the bell when you do. Thank you for that. This is for the Salvation Army. And thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends, share this video. But you're also able to interact live. You're able to type in questions. Elif has them in front of her. What are you reading?
Jacqueline says, the problem is that the state can make marijuana legal, but the federal has it illegal. So at work, you are breaking the law.
Yeah.
The question is, when do you think the federal government will change the law?
California, as of January 1st, is going full on recreational. You can buy it anywhere, do anything
you want.
Can
you put the proceeds in a bank? Because those are federally regulated.
Well,
you can't put your cash in a bank.
Right, but Colorado has already licensed a Colorado bank, that can handle this stuff so they can actually have credit cards and all this other stuff. I suspect the most populous state in the union, 45 million plus people, are going to have legal marijuana. My hesitancy, and I think Rauner shares this, is that we don't know enough about marijuana. We know that there's a lot of good to be had by it. There is proven medical, but there, for instance, how stoned can you be to not operate a car? How stoned can you be to be, you know, reckless?
What's the equivalent of 0.08, right?
Right. Yeah. We don't know that. We don't have that number. We don't have a mean
yet. That's a good point.
But why don't we use the tax dollars and say 10% of those go towards research? I know that that's anathema to many.
Rehab.
Well, that too.
10%.
Or 20%. Or
box of Twinkies. I mean, get 10 guys, give them a joint, and then watch them drive. And then and check their blood. And then you can, how much research went into DUI and when you're impaired? I mean, I can't believe that would be that hard to figure out.
What's the experience been in Colorado? What's it been in, was it Oregon or Washington where it's legal?
They've had lower rates of underage users, or teenage use
it
has gone down.
It's not like we're trying to reinvent the wheel here.
It's generating a ton of
and
tax dollars.
And we'll have a lot of experience in California, and it's basically legal in California now. Anyway,
it's basically legal here.
Yeah. I have a Steve Martin album from the 70s. Like, wow, man, you don't want to smoke marijuana in California? You can get a ticket for that, and that was in the 70s.
Now you get a high five. Another question from one of our listeners: what is the one thing you would change about Illinois politics or our current policies? You go first, Patty. You follow state politics as closely as any of us.
We need better leadership, and I think that goes across the board, whether it's executive or the Speaker of the House. I think there should be limits on how long a leader can serve. The President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House have been there far too long, especially Speaker Madigan. Whatever your politics are, he's the longest serving Speaker in the history of the United States.
Here's how I would change Illinois politics. By the way, we're ringing the bell whenever we get a donation, right, Elif? We need more donations. Donate to the Salvation Army. Elif will ring the bell when you do. There's a donate now button right there. Here's how I would change it. Because... thank you.
That was another one.
Please keep them coming. I would change the policy so that, I mean, why does Mike Madigan have Illinois in a stranglehold? Because he's the Speaker of the House. Why is he the Speaker of the House? Because the legislature gets to vote for him. Why does he keep getting reelected? Because, you know, the trains run on time in his district.
No.
You're
no.
never going to get Mike Madigan out of the House in Springfield, right?
Here's the thing. I mean, I take all this criticism of Mike Madigan. I mean, there's some things that he's done that I don't approve of. But the idea that if Mike Madigan were to go away and, say, Lou Lang becomes the Speaker of the House, that suddenly all the Democrats are going to abandon all their views and go, oh, Mr. Rauner, of course, we'll give you your right to work. We'll give you all your union-busting things. The idea that that would happen is just a fantasy. It's Rauner's got this fantasy that if somehow Madigan's out of the way, everything is
you don't think Illinois would be better if Mike Madigan were not the Speaker
of the
House?
I don't think it would be marginally better, but not significantly
but
better.
But I think for long term, when you have term lead limits, you also, I think that this has shaped the way politics
on the leadership,
has worked.
If there's nothing a, else. Yeah. Well,
there's
is,
a very, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think a simple way to end every problem in politics, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and the country, we need to completely, fundamentally, and irrevocably change the way we draw our legislative districts.
Yeah.
That's true?
And
yeah.
that is, I think, obvious to everyone.
There's no wow. What
and agree how to do it.
That was spontaneous for
right. here's what I'm saying.
I want you to jump in.
I'm going to say this about that. Okay, legislative maps, yes, but not unilaterally. There's no reason why Illinois should do it. It's a democratically controlled state, and all these Republican states are still doing it. I think it should be a federal law to do this.
What are we dating? No, because somebody else does it, we shouldn't do it because something else is bad?
Why would the Democrats unilaterally yield in Illinois when you've got North Carolina and
but
Texas.
Eric, do you mean for state legislature as well, or just Congress?
Well, no, they're the same when they draw the maps.
What would hurt Illinois if we did it within our state?
The districts aren't the same, but the process of drawing the district maps are the same. It's all in the state. I think it should be done federally. I totally agree with that. I think legislative leadership term limits is a good idea.
That was my idea. You still get to vote for Mike Madigan, but he cannot be the Speaker of the House.
For all this time. I mean, that's fair enough. I think it's good to spread that around, and I also think the graduated income tax is a good idea.
I agree. This is not working as far as the way our taxes work, and that's been since 1970.
Okay, Aleph wants to ask another question. She rang the bell a little while ago. What are our live Facebook viewers are asking? What?
Diane asks, couldn't ending gerrymandering take the place of term limits?
I think that's a start.
And that's what we're talking about.
Let me jump in and just say where I disagree with Eric passionately. Thank you
for the donation.
Thank you for disagreeing with me.
Passionately is that by taking that away from both sides, by just saying that it either goes to a court, it goes to a panel, it's computerized, by redrawing those lines. We have districts now, and we have representatives who, okay, now I'm going to sound like the old man that I've become. When I was a younger, you had congressmen, representatives, had districts that would have a plumber, would have a taxi driver in it. In the same district, they have lawyers and doctors, that they had to have some kind of moderation because they represented both sides in their district. We don't have that at all now because of the way Illinois and other states have done it, and admittedly Republican states as well. You now don't have that at all. Everyone's either rich, middle class, or poor in these districts. They're either Democrat or Republican, period. And that doesn't help in terms of governing.
That's why that's the amazing thing to me about Madigan. We don't need to dwell on him, but he keeps getting reelected. And I'm like, everybody doesn't like Mike Madigan. How does he keep getting reelected? How does he keep getting reelected? Do the people in his district not share our frustration with the stalemate that we have in Illinois? And they're the only ones that can pull the lever on that.
Well, imagine you have a state rep who's as powerful as he is. I mean, state rep districts aren't that big, and you can reelect the guy who is the most powerful guy in Illinois.
I guess.
Why not? I mean, maybe a better question is, why do the Democrats in the General Assembly keep reelecting him? Why do the representatives keep reelecting him Speaker? And it's because he is good at his job. I mean, I know this. You guys hate to hear this, but Mike Madigan knows how to get legislation, how to hold
it,
how to move it.
All right, Alan's got another question. Finish this thought. Are you done with that thought?
No, I'm done.
You're done with that thought. Go ahead,
Alan. He's over it. He's over the thought.
So Kevin asks, Patty, before you interviewed Madigan, did you have to present the questions ahead of time? Were there boundaries set for what questions
Patty Vasquez was able to do something nobody else in America has been able to do, and that is score a personal interview with Mike Madigan.
I did not have to present any questions ahead of time, and I was not given any boundaries that I could not cross. There was just show up at his office with recording equipment, and we sat down for half an hour and had a conversation.
Donations to the Salvation Army.
Thank you for asking.
If you hit the Donate Now button, you can make a donation. Elf will ring the bell whenever someone makes a donation.
Okay, you didn't submit the questions, but did he submit his answers to you first?
How weird would that be?
How did you find him? I mean, did he responsive? Was he cagey?
Yeah, here's the thing. I honestly believe there was a moment my father had an intervention for me from the other side, as it were. For some reason, I just mentioned that my father was Irish, and Speaker Madigan was like, "You're Irish?" And turns out that he's married to a woman who's Mexican. He's Irish. I'm Irish and Mexican. And all of a sudden, the ice melted, and we had a great conversation.
Well, I got to use that.
Yes.
My wife, Brenda's Mexican, I'm Irish, or I'm Mexican, she's Irish. That's the entree. But
yes.
The thing is, he should not be that difficult to score an interview with. He is the Speaker of the House of this state that has all of these problems, and he will not go on with Steve Cochran.
That's why I wanted to talk to him.
He should be on with Steve Cochran.
I wanted people in the state of Illinois to hear his voice. We do need to hear from
him. Isn't that weird?
He won't come into the Tribune editorial board.
Thank you for the donation to the Salvation Army.
The governor came in yesterday.
That one was from Steve Brown, by the way.
Senate President Cullerton comes into the board and talks to us, but Rauner came in yesterday, and I keep talking to Steve Brown, asking him if he'll send Madigan over. He says it'll be a waste of his time.
I have some non-political questions. You guys ready? Video of a U.S. Navy pilot observing a UFO has been released. The intercept took place in 2004 off the coast of California. The object moves easily and super quickly into a 120-mile-an-hour jet stream. It rotates. It hovers 50 feet above the ocean where there's some churning object. It amazes Navy pilots. And then it zooms out of sight only to reemerge miles away. I do not believe in UFOs, but I believe that this happened, that this was a thing. Was this a visitor from outer space? Zorn, you go first.
No, it was not a visitor from outer space.
Stannis, was it a visitor from outer space?
It was not.
No.
Oh, come on, can an Earthling get some love here? Steve,
no.
What do you think happened there?
I didn't even read the story.
Well, now you know all you need to know. The video is everywhere.
I read the headline. I just thought this was a Harry Reid boondoggle for spending money in his state.
That was the other angle. Thank you for bringing it back to Earth. But so we know this because there was a $20 million research project that was funded by Harry.
$20 million in the coffer.
Okay.
Oh, dear. And another.
A $650 billion Defense Department budget. $20 million was carved off. It's a pittance, and it was given to a private contractor to study this, who happens to be a big campaign contributor to Harry Reid.
Shady at all.
No.
I know, but really.
Well, I mean, look, he found
something. We've got UFOs at our front door, and you guys are quibbling about that. I mean, come on.
They're going to make everything okay. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're coming down here and saying, okay, you guys, we gave you a millennium. It didn't work out. We're taking
over.
Okay,
and this video is what year? Was it 2004?
2004.
And so where has this object been for the last 13 years? I mean, really, honestly, if you've got some hyper
it was shot down over Chicago.
Yeah, 72nd floor of Trump Tower. Site.
They've come and they've taken a look at us and they've just gone away. No intelligent life here.
We don't know their ways. But too often the video. Listen.
Okay.
Too often the video.
Oh, we're getting
from
serious?
UFOs is some guy named Clem, and he's standing there with Mrs. Kadiddlehopper.
The frisbee on
I know, and they're going, you know, I don't know. We was milking the cow, and then this thing happened. But this is Navy pilots in tops, you know, it's more sophisticated than that. It looks realer than that. They don't have any reason. They're mocked when they land their jets. They're derided. They don't talk about it anymore. So I'm compelled to believe the Navy pilots, and the video is really fascinating. What was that, Steve?
I really haven't seen it.
Fine. Then don't even care. Thank you for that donation.
Can I just say, I want to interject here. This bell and all the Salvation Army stuff reminds me of Bob and Betty Sanders. Does anyone remember Bob and Betty?
Sure. On BBM for you. Why does it remind you
because
of them?
They were big in the Salvation Army.
I think of John Williams.
You know, donations are down at the Salvation Army kettles. Here's a question for you. What's the matter?
It occurred to me, and I meant to ask you, have there been any gold coins this year?
Oh, yes. Have there been?
Somebody in Minneapolis dropped a $200,000 check yesterday.
$200,000.
We have not had our gold coins yet. We have not had our gold. We've had two kettles stolen.
Have we still had gold coins up until? Because I brought it up actually to a couple of younger people in the newsroom, and they're like, what are you talking about?
Everybody.
You know what? I am such a bad guy. I once did a piece where I cast doubt on this whole gold coin phenomenon. That's what a bad guy.
Yeah, I know. Wow. They were Why else. Do you hate? Why do you hate?
Who I don't hurt know. You,
I
Eric?
Just do.
Just, you know, cynicism is can be healthy.
I am. Here is the question. So the Salvation Army trying to get into the 21st?
21st so far.
Sure.
They want to experiment with swiping kettles, where you come up and you just run your ATM card through, and then it automatically makes a donation that you determine. Do you guys like that idea?
Absolutely.
Of ATM center kettles, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Well, it would change the aesthetic, though, wouldn't it?
I hate that it's not the bell and the coin and the clink.
Yeah, but they're not making as much money.
And coins aren't getting it done anymore.
Right.
They are not. Oh, no, people don't even pause to pick them up. But the problem is,
I don't even have coins most of the time.
No, honestly, I don't.
I don't have coins on me. So.
I feel that way for sometimes panhandlers or kettles. I go, well, I guess I could find a bill for you in my wallet, but coins were easier and we don't carry them as often. They're worried about the security, though. If you're swiping to somebody you really don't know on the street with a bell, do you really want to give them your ATM card? So that's the conundrum for them. It's why we're trying to raise money here today for the Salvation Army. Does the high-speed train crash in Washington make you guys less enthusiastic about high-speed rail, say to O'Hare or to Indiana or from Chicago to some other area?
Well, it does to Seattle.
Yeah. Well, and the problem is we're not learning from...
Oh, that was you being funny?
I'm sorry.
Way too soon.
Way too soon.
We're not learning from our mistakes.
He's a bad guy.
Oh, my God.
I'm a bad guy. He's a bad guy. There you go.
When they had the crash a couple years ago, 2 years ago, 8 people died, and they put in precautions on the East Coast. They did not put that on the West Coast, which is there are stopgaps. There are ways to make sure the train reduces speed in places they're supposed to.
80 miles an hour.
Was this the first run?
It was the first day, the first run. It was the maiden voyage of the Titanic. There was a band playing on the train as they were going too fast on their inaugural voyage.
Near my God to thee.
That's the first thing I thought of.
This train was going 80 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone because the engineer or conductor didn't know, or not the conductor, the engineer didn't know to slow down.
Or he was distracted by another trainee.
It should have been impossible for this to happen. Does it change my view of high-speed rail? No. It makes me nervous.
So the president was quick to tweet that,
of course,
had the infrastructure been better, this wouldn't have happened.
And yet the cuts to Amtrak were in the budget for when they were talking about spending over the summer.
Okay, so
and he hasn't put an infrastructure bill in yet. There is no infrastructure.
Sorry, Steve, did you want to say something?
Thank you for that donation to the Salvation Army.
I'm moving toward a thought. And then he was criticized for not, you know, thinking of the victims first, which was a rookie mistake. That was a big, he shouldn't have done that. Is he right, though? I mean, had we been spending more on this technology, would this have been avoided?
No, not this particular.
Not this one. No? This is a $180 million project.
It's totally human error on the part of the engineer.
They prolonged the deadline for when they had to put the safety precautions in to the end of 2018.
And that's what I'm referring to. Not the quality of the bridge, but those precautions.
I have another question for you guys. And this is something Eric Zorn posed in his column this week.
Uh-oh.
Well, the president said, I'm not going to fire Robert Mueller. And Zorn said, don't believe him. I think you kind of concluded with a definitive maybe about that. Do you think the president will eventually fire the special prosecutor?
Yes, I think he will.
And what do you think the consequence of that will
be? None. I think there'll be no consequence.
Oh. Do you all agree with that?
No.
First of all, do you agree, Scott, that the president will fire Robert?
No, I don't, because the way the investigation's looking now, I'm sorry,
I'm
guys.
So glad we're videoing this, because Eric just gave us the role of the day. Go ahead, Scott.
No, I don't, because the way it looks now, it looks like it's going to exonerate Trump himself. It may take down a lot of people around him, but as it stands now, and I would let that continue.
Why would you think that, Scott?
Why do you say he's going to exonerate? I mean, I don't know, but why do you
think? I think he's going to get away with this.
I think he is, because the prosecutors are talking to Trump's attorneys now or this weekend, and they'll have a very clear image of where this is going. And if it's not going towards him, he will not care.
It's the bird poop on the car analogy. There's so much crap on there. What are they going to find that's going to shock us? That was your
point. But if he does fire him, I think even Republicans in the Congress begin to look at impeachment.
They're getting what they want. I don't know why they would do anything.
Because this transcends into...
What, firing Mueller?
Yeah. Transcends into interference.
Right, not what they would find, but that he would just let him go.
So, what, attacking Gold Star families? No. Attacking women by their genitals? No.
Making fun of the disabled?
Making fun? No. There have been others recently.
It goes on and on. I mean,
attacking the Hispanic judge.
But firing Mueller, that's when they're going to stand up and do something?
Yeah.
Well, it is. It is a different category. I get your point, Steve. C'est la vie, but it is an entirely different animal firing the special.
Can I throw something out here? By the way, the one person. What did you call it, Eric? When you said surely this?
Yeah, the surely us.
Yes, there's one the surely this society. Surely this will be the end.
Someone sitting. I was a surely this was one of those. This is the end. This is in. One person sitting in with us today, Patty Vasquez, time after time after time, said no. This will not dissuade his voters or his supporters. Mm-mm. And she was obviously way too correct.
Sorry.
I just want to throw
Scott had to have parts of his body waxed.
Too. Live on the air.
Yes.
Oh, did you? We're trying to raise money here for the Salvation Army. One of the ideas was, what will we do for you if you make a donation? So we're ringing a bell and answering your questions. You can right now respond. Interact with us, ask a question, make a comment, we'll respond to it. And we'll ring a bell when you make the... But if we said, every time you make a donation, we rip another wedge of hair off of Scott's hairy body.
Oh my God!
Salvation Army's problems would be solved.
And he won't do it. He won't do it because he does not love the children.
That's right. We did one thigh and one armpit. We didn't do anything uniform.
We did a nose. We all did noses.
He cares more about his body hair than he does about their areas disadvantaged.
It's very
people.
Close to me.
Some of our viewers/listeners submitted questions in advance, and I'm reading from them here. And now, if you'll read questions as they come in, right? So if you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can. From someone who uses Lakeshore Drive Path a lot. Couldn't Chicago find a better use for Ken Griffin's $12 million donation? I would rather fight off the bicyclists than have children go to bed hungry. Did the path rehab cost the taxpayers additional monies about the $12 million? I'm not exactly sure what that's all about. Are you guys up to speed on this?
Not exactly.
Rehab project of
a big project where they separated the running path from the bicycle path.
And they should. And I don't know what that's going to cost. If that costs us $1 zillion, I will endorse every single one of those dollars. The lake is one of our greatest resources, and we have way too many people on the same path. It's dangerous. Why? And it's not going to cost us.
And I think Griffin donated a lot to that. I think that's the point of it.
Right.
So
I hate it.
John's so cute now that he's moved to the city. Though.
I know. It's adorable.
Don't get me to talk about overcrowded L trains,
right.
CTA trains. But it's one of our great resources. It wouldn't cost that much money. We should make it as usable and safe as possible. And don't you hate it when somebody does good and then people criticize the version of the good that they did? So,
well, you can dovetail into the Riverwalk, which is great,
but
yachts, it's designed pretty much so yachts can moor up to the and go to the bars.
Yeah.
So my yacht, I don't know where yours is, Patty, but mine is not. You know, it's not.
Mine is too big to get into the river. I'm pretty pissed about.
You know, the problem
so
with
practical.
It's a pretty interesting dynamic when everybody's out there enjoying their cocktails and their beer or just a stroll along the lake, and then they have these docks built into the Riverwalk, and sometimes ginormous boats pull up with suntanned people, and they park right there next to us average citizens, and they so flaunt it. They're so beautiful, and they're laying out. And then, and this is what bugs me, they crank their music up really loud. Thank you for that donation to the Salvation Army. And they crank their music up really loud, like nobody else is there. There's 1,000 people enjoying the dock, and we're listening to the mix that somebody else is playing.
I do like, though, if you go to Michigan towns, Michigan Harbor towns and all, there's a melding or an integration of the water and land that in a big city you don't have as much. You know, it's kind of hard to get to the water in Chicago.
Yeah.
So I do like the idea of boats being able to pull up and provide their own music. I
love the Riverwalk. It's a great thing.
It is great.
And John is completely right about the lake. The lake is, and the lakefront is what really distinguishes Chicago from a lot of other cities.
Oh, yeah.
And check the difference between Chicago and Milwaukee, for instance.
26 miles of beach. Lakefront.
By the way, Elif has another question or comment from you, our Facebook live streamers and viewers and listeners. Thank you for watching. Share this with your friends. Please make a donation to the Donate Now button for the Salvation Army. All right, Elif, what have one of our viewers asked?
Jacqueline says, we have very smart people in Illinois, and 3 terms is enough. Don't you think that the people should have the right to vote for Speaker of the House?
Yeah.
So I thought that question was going, we have very smart people in Illinois. Why aren't they on this podcast?
So that's not where I thought it was going.
I don't like term limits for voters. I think that voters should have the right to if they want to reelect Mike Madigan over and over again, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to say it's direct democracy. I don't like the idea of taking away that choice from voters.
I think this his question is, should we vote for the speaker directly?
Right? As a statewide office?
Yeah, some sort of referendum.
Well, it wouldn't reflect it's a legislative office, though. I mean,
he still gets to represent the majority of people. That would make him a legislator.
We don't vote for the Speaker of the House for the riot.
Well, maybe we should do that, too.
It's got to represent the majority party in the House, so it just wouldn't work that way. No, the answer is no.
No.
But Elif, do you have any more questions for us, or am I going to wrap up the podcast?
I think I have one more question. I'm just scrolling back up to it. No, I think that pretty
because
much...
because somebody else asked, do you all agree Mike Madigan? Well, boy, we have never talked about Mike Madigan so much on a podcast.
And Kristen McQuarrie isn't here.
I know. Said, well, who would be loving
I
this.
I could channel her if you'd like. Is the source of all evil.
Do you all agree Mike Madigan has to go? Please outline a step-by-step action plan that will remove him. The poor guy. I feel bad for him. I feel as bad for Mike Madigan.
What about poor guy?
Elif does have another one.
Let me just jump in on this. The way to get rid of Mike Madigan is for Republicans to vote to elect a majority in the state
for the Democrats to come to their senses.
Well, the last election that we had statewide, only what was it, maybe 30% of registered voters showed up. The other thing is people have to be invested; they have to participate in our democracy.
As the election down in that recent election in Alabama showed,
yeah, 35%, 30-some percent of the people voted in Alabama. I'm stunned by that number. But here's the other person I feel sorrier for, and that is Matthew Peterson, who was up for federal bench.
Right.
You feel sorry for him?
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes,
God. Really?
He was grilled by John Kennedy, the Republican senator from
Louisiana.
And he said, have you ever tried a case in a federal court? No. Have you ever done it in a state court? No. Have you ever taken a deposition?
Have you ever watched People's Court?
No. I know.
None of it?
He said, do you know what a motion in limine is? I've covered like about 5 federal trials in my life. I know what a motion in limine is.
And the guy didn't
like
know the answers to any of those
none.
Things.
It was embarrassing.
And he's a smart guy who's not qualified for the job he was up for.
He needed to say, it's like if they asked me if I would like to join the opera in Chicago. I would say, well, no, thank you for the offer, but I'm really, my voice is not going to make it.
No
that's
president.
This is going to go terribly for everyone.
No,
not going to go well.
As you would say, I'm about 38% sure on this fact.
Yeah.
No president has nominated in one confirmation of more appellate court judges in this length of time than President Trump. So that's something while we're
huge story.
While we're paying
huge
attention to Peterson
and
how unqualified he is, elections have and he is what he is getting done is a remaking of the federal judiciary, and that will last forever.
Lifetime appointments.
I know.
It's crazy.
I think that's why you go, yeah, I really can't sing in the opera, but boy, if I can get through,
right.
I'm golden. You know?
Yeah.
And so you get a uniform.
And then, I just think it's so critical. Senate, thank you for the donation to the Salvation Army. We're almost about to wrap this podcast up, so please hit the donate now button. Senator Kennedy then is on CNN the next day. And remember, he's the Republican. I just think that's so critical to this because everybody circles their wagons these days. And
former
said,
Democrat, by the way. I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
Kennedy was?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, his name is John Kennedy.
They're born Democrats.
And then they eventually find their way. He said, I felt bad for the guy, but I have a job to do. And Kennedy said, I like Donald Trump. I support Donald Trump. Because Trump's people were quick to say, there they go again, attacking our nominees when the they is a Republican senator. And so there was this sort of cogent, intelligent, somber, sober guy going, in America, we have the right to have different opinions. And I happen to like Donald Trump. I know that's not popular with a lot of people. My point is that it was really nice to see somebody speak so fluently and intelligently from a position of authority about Donald Trump, even though I think he's cuckoo bananas. Trump is. This guy seemed to have a clue. But then he said, but this guy is not qualified, and he should not have been put up. It makes you wonder about the process. But amen to the process.
Good
because
for him.
Then the guy was so embarrassed, he pulls himself out of the running.
And didn't Trump talk to Kennedy and actually say that was okay? I understand why you did that.
I don't know why that guy's name was in there. I don't know how that
happened. How did that happen?
Elif wants to ask one more question before we go. Go.
So I've got two questions, actually, that relate to each other, so I'm just going to ask them in one. Do you guys think that J.B. Pritzker has a chance? And can Bruce Rauner overcome his terrible polling numbers in the primary?
Okay, what do you guys think about the governorship? Eric, go.
I think Pritzker's got to be the favorite right now.
Do you like him?
Do I like him?
Every time I turn on the internet, I got to watch a commercial where he's running down.
He's
Donald
on TV
Trump.
More than Flo.
I'm getting tired of this. I know. I'm getting tired of his commercials. Thank you for that donation.
I haven't looked that carefully at his positions, and I haven't really made a decision as which Democrat I'm going to favor in that election, but no. I mean, he seems all right. Yeah,
Patty, what do you think?
I think I think Representative Ives is going to give this an interesting turn in the race.
Yes, I agree with
she
that.
Came after him after he voted. He approved the spending for abortions through Medicaid and the expansion of coverage for abortion.
She's going to give Rauner an interesting run.
I think so. I think she'll make it very interesting. I talked to J.B. Pritzker and I asked him why he was rich, and he was very was very forthcoming about his family story, and it was interesting to me. But I don't know. I don't know if he's executive material in the state.
I don't know.
Of
maybe it's too soon to say, okay, who's going to win. But I don't know. Steve, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, I mean, if I was putting money down right now, I'd put it on Pritzker.
Yeah. I'd say we're going to have the fall is going to be 2018 is going to be a Pritzker Ives race. I think she's going to knock the governor
out. You think Ives is going to beat Rauner?
I do.
Wow.
The downstate Republicans cannot stand
Rauner?
Governor Rauner.
Really?
No.
I think he's right. It's going to be close. I think I wrote a column early on when Ives was coming out and saying, I think you got to take her seriously. And Rauner has not so far taken her seriously.
But she's not a billionaire, so how can she be governor?
Well, here's the thing. If money was everything in politics, we'd be talking about President Jeb Bush today. Or
Hillary Clinton.
We'd be talking about President Donald Trump, and he is president. He is a billionaire.
But
he
didn't spend the money.
It really wasn't money. I would not say Trump bought the president.
Okay, here's where we do our recommendations. This is where you tell us something that you guys, that you are reading, watching, listening to, or in honor of our colleague who's not here today, Kristen McQuarrie, drinking, something you're consuming. Steve, I know you got to run to do the news. You go first.
I'm going to recommend. Black Mirror's been around for a few years.
Yeah. Yes,
I've never
good.
Watched it.
Oh.
I watched the first one ever this week. We won't go into it, but the National Anthem episode. And it was great. And so I recommend people check out Black Mirror. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's Twilight Zone-y, but for the tech age.
But but it always takes on, my son tells me, technology in society, right? That's kind of, but they're all standalone episodes.
And the production values are really good.
Beautiful.
It's like amazing.
It's like
a movie. Like
I know, every episode.
Yeah.
What do you like, Patty Vasquez?
I have just finished the series Godless on Netflix, and I loved it. It's horses and guns, women with guns, and Jeff Daniels all in the Old West. I love that. It's a great series. I also want to promote an event I have coming up on New Year's Eve. I've got two shows at the Filament Theater in Portage Park. Tickets are available on Eventbrite. We also have a family-friendly show, the 7:30 show for kids under 12 are free. They have to be accompanied by an adult. Please don't drop off your kids.
Is that the show with Steve Cochran? Is that the show with Steve? That's a separate
show. This is my show, yes.
So Steve's got a show, and your show is where again?
At the Filament Theater in Portage Park, and tickets are available on Eventbrite. And the second show is an adult show.
How about you, Mr. Zorn? What do you like?
Well, I'm going to be premiering at the Lyric Opera.
No more Rice Krispies.
I think we should take donations for him to stop singing. I think you start singing, and when people start donating money.
And the bell will start ringing.
Hey, are you guys done with your
Songs of Good Cheer? Six Songs of Good Cheer shows.
How much money did Songs of Good Cheer with Mary Schmick raise this year?
I don't have the yearly total, I don't know, but we're creeping up on
700.
Well, 1.4 trillion.
You guys are creeping up on $700,000 raised for charity in almost two decades of Songs of Good Cheer.
Congratulations.
It's a really fun show.
It is such a great thing for Chicago. Please keep doing it.
Yes.
That.
Well, thanks for coming and for supporting it. I really appreciate that. Actually, another Netflix recommendation. People without Netflix, right?
I know.
Watched Patton Oswalt's Annihilation stand-up special that he did. It's his new one. You know, Patton Oswalt lost his wife a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And he talks about, he just does about, the first half is just basically Patton Oswalt's stand-up, very good. And then he starts shifting into talking about losing his wife, and it is heartbreaking and yet hilarious. Have you heard it? Or
I have not, but I love Patton Oswalt.
It's really good. So it's called Annihilation. It's the new stand-up special for Patton Oswalt.
What do you like, Scott Stanis?
Another Netflix. sorry, folks.
Well, do we have a sponsor for this podcast?
Now we do.
Attention, Netflix.
Stranger Things. I know I'm a little late to the season two. I thought was better than season one. Season one is kind of a mystery. Season two is a more haunted house-like. Things jump out, but it's also about coming of age. They took the fact that the cast, which was a bunch of kids, are getting older, going through puberty and growing up, and using that as a strong peg to the whole season. It's delightful.
And just seeing Sean Astin in that series is so much fun, too. And Paul Reiser, who's great.
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
I have two recommendations. One is the book called The Crown. It's called Conant, C-O-N-A-N-T. James Conant, I think, is his first name. He was one of the fathers of the atomic bomb and the Manhattan Project. It's a topic I've read about a lot over the years, and I've kind of been away from it, and I've just started this book. Thank you. We're almost done.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for the atomic bomb. It's a great story from the perspective of one of the scientists and what happened afterwards, and it's so far so good. It's written by his daughter. But the second season versus first season TV show I want to recommend is The Crown, also on Netflix. Season two is more soap opera-ish. Season one is more historic, if you will. But I think it's all based on true events. It is so good. The Crown is about the royal family and the crown in England, and about the sitting queen and her son, who would become prince, and so on and so forth. And it's just really good TV drama. I'm not interested in royal families at all. I love this series. Okay, that does it. Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Eric Zorn, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Patty Vasquez, Steve Bertrand had to go away. Thank you, Benji. Our engineer is Ben Cortez. Yay. This is always produced by Elif Garris. She's our producer. And on the other side of the class, Sarah Tiemann. Thank you, Sarah, for making this happen.
And our camera.
Pointing.
Michael Poe. Mike Poe is the man on the other side of that. Mike, thank you for standing there like this.
Hey,
his arms must be aching for the last 50 minutes.
He's taped that gadget to his hand, I believe, too.
And thank you for making your donations. Hey, let's get another donation for the Salvation Army right now. As we say so long, we do this podcast every week. We are the Mincing Rascals. It normally goes up Thursday afternoons, and you can hear me on WGN Radio at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks for watching. Thanks for donating.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can also listen online on the WGN Plus app or WGNRadio.com. Just click on the WGN Plus tab. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a presentation of the WGN Plus Podcast Network. You can also catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.